Hey guys, just a heads up. This podcast contains adult language and occasionally has adult themes. If you are under the age of 18, you need to click away. No, seriously, if you are a child or someone who's going to be judging me around the dinner table, you need to find another podcast. Thanks.
Welcome to Panda Talks, the show where we still do different openings because I'm doing it. And hello. I'm.
That was the cutest fucking thing. And hello.
My name is Brady, and I'm joined here by my lovely wife co-host,
Amanda.
And it's my birthday.
It's not your birthday.
When this releases.
Oh, happy birthday, Brady.
It will be my birthday, dead on.
Yeah, that's exciting. And we're going to be telling spooky stories for your birthday. Does that sound okay?
No, I'd rather we just talk about me.
Okay. Brady, do you like spooky things?
Yes.
Do you like true life spooky things?
Yeah.
Do you like hanging out with our buddy Tex and hearing some really awesome spooky stories?
Yeah.
Well, then do I have the greatest thing to talk about you today?
Nice.
For Halloween, and also for those who are following us along, we have house updates. Some spooky things have happened in the house recently. And then I have to on shit.
Have to on shit is what she said. In case you didn't...
That was good. You know, I thought tonight would be a great night to do this podcast, and I'm so tired. I didn't think I'd be so tired, but, you know.
Holy crap. Like, so we slept decently last night, I'm going to say. I don't know.
I slept through the night.
I woke up once because our daughter has a cough right now, and she had, like, a 10-15 minute coughing fit at, like... 2 or something, and I'm like, oh man, this is gonna be a long night because she's gonna wake herself up from coughing, she's gonna wake up the baby from coughing, and we're gonna have to take both of them and decide whether they're both gonna sleep in our bed or somebody's gonna go sleep. And then they both just stayed asleep, and then I fell asleep after she got done coughing and slept until you got up at like...
You woke me up before my alarm, but I had to get up at a 7:30, but that's not what
we're doing. Oh, yeah, you got up, and I had to blow my nose. That's what I did.
Anyways, so what I was going to say before I had a yawn was that I've been really in the mood to, like, I think I mentioned it on the podcast. I've been really in the mood for, like, paranormal TikTok. Like, I want to watch spooky ghost stuff. But more specifically is I've been really wanting to find some local spooky stuff just to get me in the Halloween spirit. I don't know. I've been craving it. So I tried my damnedest to look up some like Utah haunting stuff. I'm really disappointed because I remember back when I was in junior high, there was this website. And it was called like Haunted Utah or something. And you could literally just like type in your location and it'd be like, here's like several stories from your area. You know, I could not find this website anywhere. And our buddy Tex, who's going to be joining us later on the second half of this podcast, he even told me about like a cool spooky legend and that happened in Moab, and I like could not find anything about it. So I think I just suck at research. So I do have, like, a few stories I found online we can go over. They're not, like, I don't know. They're not long. They're small, you know. I had to get a lot to fill this episode, but, do you have any scary stories for us, Brady?
No, I was just gonna say, adding on top of that, sorry to go backwards.
But no, go backwards.
I remember going to a website. Had to be either that one you're talking about or one similar. This would have been, I think I was graduated high school. So you were probably in high school. And it was just like, it was just a list of things. It was like the one that most people in Utah know about. It was like, if you go to this cemetery, go find this grave. And it says, this lady was killed by the beast 666. And you're like, well, that shit's crazy. And then there was one like, oh, well, there's this bridge that a woman drove off with her kids in the car. And if you drive over the bridge at a certain time on a certain day with your windows rolled down and you drive across going really slow, you can hear, like, people yelling for help or whatever. And I'm like, oh, well.
That one made me sad.
Yeah.
I think it was a hypothetical you made up, but it made me sad.
Well, it's like, it's always, like, I never know if these are real or not. Because they all come from, like, folklore, you know? Because you hear the story, like, one of the more famous ones of La Llorona.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like it's a generic, like, this lady meets a guy who's rich and she's super attractive and very attractive and they're super in love. And then she has two kids and then she becomes not as attractive because she has two kids. And then the guy realizes,
what are you trying to say?
He doesn't love her. And then he ends up cheating on her and leaving her for a younger, prettier girl.
Is that what you're trying to say to me?
And he
not
takes,
as pretty and have two kids.
All right, I won't tell the story.
Okay.
I was just telling the story.
Okay, tell the story. Is this really La Llorona?
Yes, this is the story of La Llorona.
I thought you were just saying they're all generic like this. So I didn't think you'd needed to finish.
They're
I'm
like,
sorry.
It's like there's so many different ways to tell the story, but this is like the base.
Okay.
And then she took her and her kids and drowned them in the river and killed herself to stick it to that guy for being a douchebag. And now if you go down whatever the river is, you can hear a lady crying. And if you ask her for help, she'll kill you or something. I don't know. I don't know how it ends. But that's the basic story of that. And so I'm like, it could be generic. I feel like you have those, especially listening to shows like Lore or like watching different TV shows, there's always like a bridge that so-and-so died on. And if you drive over the bridge at a certain time, or if you drive over a certain road at a certain time where somebody got in a car wreck and died, you could hear somebody crying or, you know, something like that. And so I'm like, okay. A lot of these to me, I'm like, I don't know how many of them are 100% true, because I think we've talked about it on here before, whereas we have a house down the street from us, not down the street, but within 5 minutes of our house, that's the big haunted house of our area. And it's like, everybody you talk to is like, yeah, I know so-and-so that went in there, and when they went in there, there was like a pig that had been sacrificed, and well, so-and-so went in there, and there was blood on the floor in the shape of a pentagram.
Well, talking to my mother, because I was trying to interview her for this podcast, she had one of her scary stories is she had an encounter with some Satan worshippers. And she said apparently around this area, about 30-ish years ago, give or take, there's a lot of satanic worshipping happening. And I thought she was, like, referring to the satanic panic, because it was when she was, like, young teenager. I don't think I was born yet, so, like, before or during her pregnancy with me, you know. But,
yes.
And that's because we live near a town named Salem. And Salem, Massachusetts was coming up to its, like, I don't know, big, look back. But it was coming up to, like, a big number. Like, oh, it's been 50, not 50, it had to be more than 50, 100 years?
That would be, like, 300 years.
And it came up to its, like, 300-year anniversary. I don't know, she just said it came up to its anniversary. So there's a lot of, like, devil worshipping going on. And, like, she said, like, even, like, she gave me names of, like, people I know that we live near. And she's like, yeah, their house had, like, and where I grew up was, like, farm country. And, like, apparently mutilated animals was, like, a huge thing. So I wouldn't be surprised about that. But Yeah. Anyways, should I tell my stories?
Yeah, I mean,
You could tell the story of us going to visit the Benjamin House, the big haunted house that's in our area.
okay, you want me to tell that one?
Do you want to? You didn't see anything. I'm just the weirdie that.
I saw something, but I didn't see something, if that makes sense.
Okay.
No, I just remember we pulled up to the house, and I don't remember what time it was. I don't think it was too late, because back then we weren't allowed to hang out too late, because I was
I think
living
it
with.
was the middle of the day.
Was it?
We went twice,
Oh, yeah, we
and
went once at night.
just to give context, it's just this abandoned house that's been abandoned for years. Teenagers just break in and vandalize it. So there's a bunch of lore and legend about why is it still up? Why didn't they sell it? Why didn't they demolish it? And like, there's barbed wire fence around this place. There's rumors of, oh, the owner put like human shit or even broken glass along the windows so people can't like break in. And you go in and it's all graffitied and just decrepit. So there's the backstory. And the first time we went, we were dating. It was middle of the day. The second time we went, we were married, living in Cedar City, and we came up to visit and we took McCade there, and that was at night. So we could hang out all night.
Okay, that makes sense then. Yeah, so the first time we went, one of the times you wouldn't let me stop, but I couldn't remember. Was that when we went in the day or when we went at night?
I think we were too afraid to stop during the day because everyone talks about how if you stop by, like the police are called, just because, like I said, it's vandalized so much that there's no trespassing, there's a fence around. So I think we were not going to stop because we didn't want to get police called. We were just more looking for it. The second time, I remember we pulled up to the gate and I was like, fucking leave, fucking leave, fucking leave. Like, I don't want to be right here. It was freaky, but we did stop there for a second, and I was just like, nope,
Yeah.
nope, nope.
So the first time we pulled up and just kind of drove past, and I remember you saying that you saw something, and I just kind of looked out the back and I didn't see anything, but I saw like a silhouette or a shadow. And so it wasn't like I didn't see a person or anything, but I saw like a silhouette that I thought,
In the upstairs window.
yeah, that looked more like a woman's silhouette. So I saw like a shadow or a silhouette. I mean, it could have been somebody up there, like just there, but yeah, I didn't really see anything. I just saw that. So I guess that to me, that's technically not seeing anything, because I feel like you see shadows all the time, but I don't know. I mean, it was like pretty defined, I guess, as a sh as far as the shadows go. And then yeah, the second time we went at night, and we kind of stopped, but then we just drove on, moved on. Didn't want to.
You didn't see anything that time?
Not that I am aware.
Okay.
And then we had growing up, we have the street. It's not that good anymore. We called it Devil's Lane, and it was like in this area by the golf course that we've always called just the River Bottoms, because it's like in this little valley, not quite out of town, but not quite in town. It's kind of in the middle, and it's just this really long street that for a long time was lined with I don't know what kind of tree they are. They're the super tall, thin tree. And like somebody planted them along the side of the road. So it was like just this wall of trees, because they were all so tall. They were like 50 feet tall, 60 feet tall, and you couldn't see anything past them. They've all since been cut down, but when I was in high school, they just lined this thing and it just gave it this really creepy like vibe, and the whole story from there was, there was two stories. The one was like, you go there at midnight and you sit in your car, and then it was pretty long. It wasn't like crazy long, but it was pretty long. And it was probably like a quarter mile, and then you'd park on one end and you'd turn your car off, and then right at 12 you'd turn your car on, and you'd have to do the whole thing and then finish and get off before 12:01. And I can't remember what, like, if something was supposed to happen there.
Weren't you supposed to, like, put your keys, like, underneath your car
or something? That's the second one. So the other one, you would, like, go there, park, put the keys under the, put, I can't remember if it was under your car or under your seat. It might be under the car. You'd put your keys under it, then everybody would get out, and then right at 12, you had to run around the car a certain amount of times. And then you had to grab your keys and jump in the car and take off. And I don't remember the consequences for either of these, but I want to say my older brother and his friends said they saw a clown out there one night. And so then for a long time, I was like, oh, man. It's like, in my mind, the consequences, like, if you don't do it, there's a clown that follows you or something. But that might have nothing to do with it, but
I never had anything like that growing up, I feel. Like, I mean, we were always told, like, stay out of the orchards at night. And I think I saw devil worshippers in some orchards one night. They could have very well been teenagers fucking around, but it was scary. They all, like, came out from the trees, and they were wearing, like, basically what looked like Ku Klux Klan outfits, but they were, like, black. And they just came out of the trees, and I was driving along, and I saw, like, their silhouettes, and then they just start, like, beelining it for the road, just, like, fucking dead-ass sprint, and I just screamed and hit the gas, because I was like, oh, my health. They, like, because where they were running, they were gonna, like, jump in front of my car. I was like, I'll mow you fuckers down. Like, I'm not stopping for you. Like, oh, my gosh. And, again, could have been teenagers, but it was pretty terrifying. But
well, that's the funny thing, is, like, as a teenager, even as an adult, you're like, oh, it's probably just somebody messing around. But then there is an off chance that that could really be somebody trying to hurt you or something.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I don't want to accidentally. I think that's the crazy thing, especially listening to these podcasts, you know, because we listened to Scared to Death, and they had the one on the Satanic Panic. And there was, like, this dude that wanted to join. They were part of the circus. You remember this one? Did you listen to this one?
Mm-mm, no.
So there was a group of three people, and they were part of the circus that would go from town to town. And then one day, this dude, like, he heard that they were Satanists, and they're not like the, so there's two types of Satanists. There's a Satanist that are just, like, anti-religion and everything like that. They're not, like, violent people. They're just, like, anti-establishment, whatever. But then there's the Satanists that actually, like, worship Satan and stuff like that. And these people are the people that actually worship Satan. And this guy one time's like, I wanna join you guys. And they're like, no, you don't want to join us, blah, blah, blah. And he just kept pushing it. And so finally on one stop, they're like, okay, if you want to join us, like, because, so basically, you'll have to go back and listen to it. It sounds fake, but they have all the news articles to back it up. So these people were Satanists. And the one guy that keeps asking to join him, they're like, no, you can't join us or whatever. He followed them one time, and they went out to the woods, and they took a girl with them, and they took her out to the woods, and then they murdered her and, like, buried her. And then they went back, and the guy was like, hey, I saw what you guys did. Now you can either let me join you. Like, it sounds crazy, but I'm 90% sure this is the story. He's like, I want to join you, or I'm going to tell the cops. And they're like, all right, fine. Meet us at this place at this time. And so he's like, sweet, I'm going to do it. And so he goes out and meets them. And they end up murdering him, oddly enough. Weird, right? So they murder this guy and they bury him, and I think they burn him. And then they go back and move to the next town because they're a traveling circus. And then the police end up catching wind and go talk to these, like, find these guys and talk to them. And one of them ends up, like, telling the cops everything. He's like, yeah, we've done this in, like, every town we've stopped at. Like, we'll stop at a town and then we'll, you know, pick somebody out and go and sacrifice them in the woods. Then go to the next town. And this was, like, 70s, 80s, whatever. So it was, like, nobody really thought, like, it was just, like, one murder would happen in each town. And nobody ever thought, hey, the circus has actually gone through all of these towns lately. And so it's just like these group of three people just were going from town to town, murdering like one person per town. And then they'd move on, and they took them a long time to get caught, but they did eventually get caught. I'm like, geez, that's, to me, sounds like one of those stories that you hear, like, oh, this is where those circus people came and murdered, you know, so-and-so. So.
All right. Well, I got a lot of stories to get through, so.
All right. Sorry.
Can I take the floor?
Yeah, go for it.
So, my first house update is going to be, I think it was about 2-3 weeks ago. I was lying in bed, and I was kind of lying, like, half on my back, half on my side. Our daughter likes to crawl in bed with us. The night before, she had wet the bed. Sometimes, this is disgusting, I know, but sometimes we're just tired. We'll take the sheets off, but we won't, like, put new sheets on. We're just like, just get in our bed, because we're not gonna, like, you know, fix your sheets. Anyway, so I could feel her, like, kind of behind, like, on my shoulder, under my back, lodged between me and Brady. And Brady wakes me up by placing his hand over my mouth and nose. And this has happened before. I know that sounds like hella abusive, but just like, if you try to wake me up, I panic. That's another story for another time about why I do that. But so, you know, to try to wake me up to kiss me goodbye for work, he has like put his hand over my mouth and been like, shh, don't scream because there's a kid in our bed. And I know you'll be pissed if this kid wakes up, you know? So I thought it was Brady waking me up to kiss me goodbye for work, but he wouldn't remove his hand. So I kept trying to push his hand, and my hand kept slipping off his hand. And then I start to panic because I can't get his hand off, and I'm clearly struggling, and he's not removing his hand. So finally, my hand catches on his watch, and I'm able to push him off of me. And as I'm like, kind of like breathing, catching my breath, I realize he's not standing on my side of the bed. He's lying on his side of the bed. So I kind of turn towards him as best I can with my daughter right there. And that's why I couldn't push him off, because I was in a weird angle with our daughter between us. And I like try to turn towards him and I'm like, what the hell? Why did you do that? And he's like, what? And I asked Brady, why did you wake me up like that? That was super rude. And he just goes, I didn't. And then that's when it really hits me that, hey, our daughter's between us. So I say, well, why is, you know, daughter in our bed? And I can kind of feel her head swiveling back and forth between looking at me, looking at Brady, you know, back and forth. And he says, I don't know what you're talking about. And in my like 3 a.m. brain, I thought they were like playing a joke on me. Like they do this thing where like if our daughter will like hide and be like, don't tell mom I'm in here. And so it's like obvious she's in here, but Brady will say like, oh, I have no idea where she is. So I thought that's what was happening at 3 a.m. Doesn't make sense, but this was logical, you know. That pissed me off that he was just like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. And I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, so I chose to ignore them and turn around and go back to bed. But fun fact about me, I had slight insomnia my whole life. Nothing like too bad, but like when I'm woken up and I'm stimulated, like, I can't just fall back asleep. Like, it used to be worse. It's a lot better now, but that being said, like, it took me a minute to fall back asleep, and I was super irritated because I was like, I was freaking dead asleep. He woke me up, now I gotta work for it again. I am then woken up at 5 a.m. by my baby just absolutely screaming her head off. I go in, rocker, bouncer, and as I'm in there, I realize that our oldest is in her bed. And so I walk back into our bedroom and I'm like, did I put the baby back down? Did she go back to sleep or did I bring her into her bed immediately?
I want to say you rocked her.
Okay, maybe it doesn't matter. But I just walked into our bedroom and I just asked, Brady, why did you wake me up earlier? That was super rude. And again, he's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, you woke me up by putting your hand over my mouth and my nose. Why did you do that? Why did you need to wake me up? And he goes, I didn't do that. I swear I didn't do that. And then I said, okay, well, did you take our oldest back to her bed? And he goes, I don't know what you're talking about. And I'm like, she was in our bed. And I'm guessing she didn't pee the bed since she's back in her other bed. Like, did you take her back there? And Brady says, if you took her back there, I haven't touched her. I didn't know she was in our bed to begin with. And that's when I, like, kind of start to get freaked out just a little bit, because I know I was awake. It was not sleep paralysis. I did not dream it. Like, I felt it. Like, it physically woke me up. So, yeah, I got a little nervous. I put our baby in our bed. I went and got our oldest and brought her into bed. And Brady, like, kind of groans. And he's like, I'm going to have to go check the house now, aren't I? And I'm like, well, I'm not freaking going back to sleep. And I got both my kids in this bed with me because, you know, paranormal, great, but my biggest fear is that there's a people living in our walls or in our attic or our crawl space. That's my biggest fear. So Brady goes and checks the whole house, can't find anyone, doors are locked up tight. They don't really have many places for someone to hide in this house, but he checks everywhere and comes back to bed and he's like, yeah, no one's there. And I'm like, hey, like, obviously, I wish more for a ghost than a person, because I feel like I can, like, at least battle a ghost, but, so there's that story. Oh, and then as I'm, like, laying there with my kids, Brady reaches over with his hand, and I kind of grab it, and that's when I realized that, the hand that was covering my nose and mouth was a right hand, like, the way it was positioned, and the way I, like, pushed it off, and if you remember, I caught on Brady's watch. Brady's right-handed, so his watch was not on his right hand. So, I don't know what the hell's that about, but there's that story. That was probably the scariest thing that's happened yet. But, I'll say the talking boy's back. I don't remember, I think it was before the events of that night, but one night I was rocking our daughter, and I just see the talking boy's little face in the toy room from where I'm rocking her, looking at me. And that was fun, but I think what really freaked me out was the other night, like Brady said, our daughter was having a coughing attack. She crawled in our bed. I think she peed. I don't know. She's in our bed.
She did not. She just crawled in our
bed. Oh, yeah. She's coughing so hard. I woke up to freaking a young girl, like 12, 13, standing right next to my bed, and her face was a skull. She was, like, half decomposed, like, she had hair, but her face was gone. I think her throat was gone, like, I could see the vertebrae, but then she had a body. And she's just standing on the edge of my bed, and I wake up yelling, what the fuck? And Brady's, like, getting mad at me that I said the F word, and our daughter's right there, and I then take my hand and kind of, like, swish it back and forth. hitting her, like, it, like, almost like she's smoke, and I'm trying to, like, brush the smoke away. So I woke up pretty scared from that, and our daughter, like, happened to, like, have a coughing fit at that same time. So I like got out of bed to get her medicine. I don't know. I got out of bed for something. And as I turn around and I start walking back to the bedroom, the goddamn talking boy pokes his head out of the bathroom and like almost like jumps in front of me. And then like kind of does this like gotcha hands or whatever. And then like runs back into the bathroom. And I was just like, oh my Lord, no. So I was like, Brady. And then Brady came rushing out like, thanks for coming out. I didn't want to walk by the bathroom alone, so I, like, used him as a human shield so I could get back to bed. And I think I freaked him out. I'm not sure, but I just am like, the talking boy's never really left, so... yeah, he's here. Those are my house updates.
I was just, like, I guess nervous, because then she was coughing and you said something about getting water, so I just got out of bed to go get her water. And then I walked back and handed you the water, and you're like, I already have a water from the other night. And then I went to like put the water down, and you're like, but I'll still take it. So I had to walk back and give you the water. And then I'm like, I have to go to the bathroom. And you had told me that you, I can't remember what you said. I want to say you just said you saw something in the bathroom. And I don't turn on any lights when I go to the bathroom at night. And so I walked in there and I like peed and blew my nose and stuff, and then I was just like sitting there, and I like fully expected to either see something in the mirror or see something as I was walking out, but I never did. I just,
it never shows itself to you because it wants you to think I'm crazy. Maybe I am just crazy because you never see it. It's always me.
Well, I see stuff like poking around corners, like that time when I saw that big something huge in this doorway right here. A white face.
Yo, around the corner. Yeah, that freaking talking boy. The past few times I've seen him, he has been like glowing white.
Well, this one's just like, it's like, I don't know how tall that is. It's like 6.5 feet tall. It's like,
don't say 8 feet tall.
But no, it wasn't, because I don't
think that freaks me out.
8 feet wouldn't have made it through the door, but six, like, but then I like peeked around and I thought it was you or something, and I walked over there, and I'm like, oh, we have a thing here, so you couldn't really do that. Like, there's no way to do it. But I was like, I don't know. And then I went and blessed the house to get rid of whatever, and I have never seen that thing again.
Yeah.
Whatever it was.
Well, and that's why I don't think the talking boy's bad, because he's never really left, but, like, everything else, like, the oil man, the peeper, and or walker, I don't see them. The screaming lady, haven't, like, seen or heard her. That closet's still funky, but, you know, we'll just keep it locked. But the talking boy's, like, the only consistent at this point, so. I don't think I have time to share my spooky Utah stories that I found. Not that they were really great, but, you know, they were interesting. And like I said, I wanted some more local stuff, but like, good news, after this break we're gonna hear from our good buddy Tex. Should I say his last name? Does he want his last name out there?
We'd have to ask him.
Well, our buddy Tex, he's a super cool dude. We miss him, and he had some freaking awesome stories to share with us, so we hope you enjoy it and we hope you get spooked.
Hello.
Hi, Tex. How's it going?
It's going all right. How are you doing?
Oh, good. We haven't heard from you. Well, I haven't heard from you in forever.
Yeah, I kind of fell off the face of the earth.
Hey, us too. Brady's here.
I'm right here.
Being silent.
That's cool. That's cool. Can you guys hear me okay? Do I sound decent?
I think so, yeah. So, well, welcome to our show. It's kind of a shit show. But, you know, we're glad you could make it. Share some scary stories with us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, Brady tells me you have some skinwalker stories. You want to just dive into that? Oh, crap. We should probably introduce Tex better, huh?
Yeah.
Sorry, when you
joined our call, they just immediately started recording, and I'm not good at editing, so we're just rolling with it.
Fair enough, fair enough.
I can't remember my usual questions we ask. If you could have any superpower, oh, this is Tex, our buddy, everyone. We'll let you guess where he's from. And Tex, if you could have any superpower, what would you have?
Ooh, let's see. Any superpower. I would have to go with the ability to read minds.
Oh, okay. Good. You could be either like villain or superhero with that one.
Exactly. I'd be leaning towards the villain side, though.
I always think, like, are you a villain if you just use it to make money, but like you're making money legally? I mean,
like again, like you're gambling and you just or something.
Could be like you're a street performer. You're like, I guess what number you're thinking of? Then you got to give me your money. And they're like, okay, $10. All right, you're thinking of $750,000. Like, no way. Okay, here you go. Here's my money.
Good job.
You know, I think I'd use it more like a. Oh, he knows the codes to the he knows the nuclear codes. I'm gonna have some fun with this.
I bet.
I never liked Chicago anyway.
There you, yeah. Who needs it? What? Sorry, I usually have questions lined up, but you know, I never prepare for anything. Who's your favorite Disney villain?
Disney villain. Does that include the MCU and everything?
I'll allow it.
Yeah, MCU, Star Wars, whatever.
Okay, Darth Maul, by far. I think he's the coolest, most well-written, if you look at everything past the movies, villain that has come across Star Wars in a really long time.
Well, I think of him like the Joker, because like, if you look at Batman, the Joker died early on in the original run of Batman,
mm-hmm.
but he was so popular that they brought him back and they made him like a bigger character. And I feel like right. that's what they did with Darth Maul. Like, he died, but then like, you know what? This guy's actually cool. Let's just keep bringing him back.
Exactly. Well, legs or
something? Yeah.
Robot oh, yeah. leg.
Okay. Dope. I think that's Brady's favorite as well. Tex. So good answer. And, last question, who's your favorite, like, Halloween monster?
Ooh. That's not a fair question, because I love them all.
If we narrow it down to just, like, the traditional ones and eliminating all the, like, new age, like, slasher killers, and you just look at, like, Frankenstein's monster, vampires, zombies, does that help or does that make it worse?
Not at all. It doesn't help one bit. Okay, so it's not necessarily a monster, because depending on what stories you're looking at, it's something different in every single one. But the monster under the bed is by far my favorite, not necessarily Halloween, but horror trope out there.
That's a good one. That's a way good one. Okay, well, now that we know Tex a little better, he has some Skinwalker stories, and then I wanted to hear just kind of a creepy, I've been really wanting some like local, you know, Utah-oriented stories, and you lived in Moab, which to me is kind of a creepy area at night,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I think it has potential, I should say. Right. And you told us a spooky story there, so that's the one I requested, but I'll let you take the floor. You want to start with your Skinwalker stories, or do you want to start with the Moab story?
You know, it's 100% up to you. Which one do you guys want to hear first?
Let's start with the Moab legend and then build from there.
Okay, so in Moab, there's this canyon. It's called Moonflower Canyon. And it was one of my favorite night hikes to go and do, because it was like you're only a mile, maybe a mile out of town. And it's less than a half mile hike. And it's beautiful canyon. But I used to love doing this hike at night because it was short and it was cool in the summertime, of course, right? Well, me and my buddies used to go do this hike all the time. And we started like looking up the history of the canyon, and it has this dark, dark history. So, little idea of this canyon. It's the slot canyon that, well, not really. It's kind of like a slot canyon that V's up at the top. And as you walk to the back of the canyon, it ends with like a 100-foot cliff face. But right in the middle of it, there's a little pond. And it doesn't make sense where the water's coming from. But there's this little pond there that kind of has a creek that runs through it. And now I know people are going to say, well, if there's cliffs there, there's waterfalls, so on and so forth. But Moab gets rain maybe 2 or 3 times a year. And it's 100 degrees most of the summer. So most of that water should be gone. It's probably an underwater well seeping up or something like that. And maybe that's what adds to what happened there. But there's also where some rocks had fallen down. There's like, it almost looks like a pedestal. Like it's a flat rock and then two rocks right behind it that jut up in like a V. Well, back whenever Moab was first settled, I don't remember the years because it's been a while since I've actually looked it up, but this lady had taken, who wasn't necessarily the most mentally stable person in the world through reports of what had happened, had taken her kids out for like a day lunch. And they hiked up to the back of that canyon, and she took them up to the back of that canyon and had lunch with her kids on this pedestal. Well, then she proceeded to drown each one of her kids in this pool. Nobody knows what came over or anything like that, but she drowned them one by one, and then ended up slitting her throat and killing herself on top of the pedestal looking thing. And so, like, the story, there's actually a story that it's haunted up and through there of her coming out on certain nights in certain conditions where she'll actually roam the canyon looking for her children.
Any reports of like mysterious like kids going missing ever since, like surrounding that? Or when I tried looking this up, all I got was like just a couple of like murders, but they'd been solved, but right, I couldn't find any of the legend that you just shared.
Right. Whenever we looked it up, we actually had to go to the local library because somebody had told us something about the canyon. We were like, no, that can't be true. And so we looked it up, and then we went to the local library, and there was a big old book about weird things that had happened in Moab. I mean, a lot of people don't know that, who was it? One of the big Western outlaws was actually held in Moab's jail for a couple of days before he was broken out. And like there's this really cool little museum there. But right next to it is the library, and they have a lot of that really cool history, and that's where we found it.
Interesting. Do you have any questions, Brady?
I don't know. So is it like, I don't know what they would call it, but you always have those legends that's like, oh, well, if you go down here and you hear so-and-so, then that's how you know that she's around, or if you hear like a weeping woman, or if you like your car for X amount of time. Is it like one of those, or just like a story you hear?
It's actually not a story that you hear very much about there, because there's also the River Witch. And I think a lot of towns have their version of the River Witch, where you go and you take your car to a certain spot and you turn your lights off, or you flash them two or three times. Yeah. And then she'll show up in front of you or something like that. And then if you try and drive away, she'll take control and wreck you.
Like, yeah, we have one around here.
We do?
Yeah, from Devil's Lane.
Oh. Okay, yeah, that was your legend.
I always like those ones. Those ones are like popular in high school, you know, take your friends out, and then there's always somebody around there trying to mess with other people.
And that's something that we did do up Moonflower Canyon, but we stopped doing it one night after we were out there, and it was like we just went on a night hike, and it was foggy as hell in there, and it just gave us these creepy-ass vibes, and we're like, yeah, I think we're done with this. We're not coming back here at night no more. And I'm not going to say that I saw anything, but I'm telling you, I heard stuff. We all heard stuff that was just kind of like, and like saw, like it was, there was no wind whatsoever, but branches were moving left and right, like fucking something was moving them around and stuff. And it was like, what the heck is going on?
Yeah, I don't blame you. I don't think I'd be doing any night hikes, but.
and so we ended that going there for night hikes. Like, we still went there during the day because it was just a cool spot. But yeah, night hikes ended there.
I don't blame you. All right, well, let's get into these. I love a good skinwalker story. So let's get into these. Now, were these both in Moab, or where were these at?
Okay, so one was actually whenever I had to have been 12 or 13, and we were driving. I'm not exactly sure where we were at. We were somewhere between Cortez, Colorado, and what's that little crappy town called? It's in New Mexico, Gallup, New Mexico. And I had these, my best friend at the time, his name was Derek. His parents owned these Indian jewelry stores, for lack of a better word. And so they asked it. I ended up going to Gallup with them one time because they owned a house in Gallup, and we were driving down there. And like, this is that kind of country where there is no light whatsoever around, because you're in the middle of the reservations, you're driving down the crappy roads. And I believe at the time that route was actually called the 666, Route 666, heading between Gallup and Cortez. I think they changed it to like 460 something, 462 or something like that now. But I believe it used to be called Route
666. I think I saw a show about that. Well, not about that town specifically, but about Route 666.
Right.
Because it was like an offshoot of 66 or something. So there was like Route 66, and then it like went, it came off of it or something.
Something it heads directly north.
Oh, okay. So, anyways, continue.
Yeah, so we were in the car, and I'm realizing something now. All these stories have to deal with some sort of fog, because it was November out, and we were out in the middle of nowhere, and it's foggy as heck outside, and I look out the window. And it looks, and you know, whenever you're a kid and you're looking out the window and you're playing like you got your fingers up on the window and you're kind of like, oh, jump that, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, yeah. We play well, that with our dog that. Now.
Right, right. So I was doing that, and all of a sudden, out to the side of the car, I see something keeping pace with us. Like, it is moving as fast as the car is. And at first, I thought it was the my friends.
He had one of those Sega Game Gears.
I thought it was a reflection of that on the window. And so I turned and looked, and I was like, Derek, the thing's too bright to turn down the brightness. He's like, and I looked over, and I was like, that thing's, oh, it's not on. I look out the window, and this thing is still keeping pace with us, right? And I don't remember how big it was, because it looked like it was about a couple hundred feet off the road. And my buddy Derek looks out, and his mom looks over, and she goes, "Don't look out that window again. Just look forward." I was like, "No, but there's something out there." And she goes, "I know. Don't look out that window again." And then I was like, Gloria, there's something keeping pace. And she goes, I said, don't look out that window. Just look down.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I didn't think too much of it until I became a high schooler. And my buddy Derek brought it up. And he was like, you remember going to Gallup and that thing keeping pace with us? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, yeah, my mom still won't talk about that.
Oh, gee.
But apparently, like, that area is really active with stuff like that, which makes sense because it is on a Navajo Indian reservation.
Yeah. Oh, that's crazy. And did you, like, were you able to see anything of it? You just noticed it was just a big form just keeping pace with you?
It looked like a... It looked like a really big coyote with its back arched really high, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I can visualize that, yeah. Oh, that's a good one. That's a good story.
I think that's like your dad's.
Yeah, something like that happened to my dad.
But his was like in Vernal, I think.
Yeah.
I could see something like that.
Oh yeah.
I mean, New Mexico. Yeah, that's. I think I've heard a lot of sketchy stuff about New Mexico.
Yeah, between you and our other friends that live there, we've heard nothing good from about New Mexico. So. Sorry, New Mexico. Oh, that's a good one. And did you say you had two or?
I do have two. The second one, I was with my brother-in-law. So there was a little bit whenever for Union Pacific while I was working out of Vegas that I was staying with in Alamo, Nevada. Now, Alamo is about 90 miles north of Las Vegas. And it's in the middle of nowhere. It's another one of those places where once you get about 10 or 15 miles out of the city, up the highway, pitch black out there. You've got your headlights and that's all you see. And my brother-in-law and I had gone to go to the airport in Vegas to pick up his daughter. On our way back, we're driving through, and like I said, I don't know what it is about the fog. I don't know if, but we're driving, and it's perfectly clear, right? Like, we're a good 40 miles up this road, and all of a sudden, there's this patch of fog. And so we start driving through this patch of fog, and right as we're getting ready to drive through this patch of fog, it looks like a person, but like a a really tall person had stepped out into the middle of the road, looked at us, and then just disappeared.
Oh,
oh no, it gets creepier. So I look at him and I say, "Hey, did you just see that?" And he goes, "You mean the guy that just stepped in the fucking road and looked at us and then disappeared out of nowhere?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Yes, I can see him out the back window right now." And I was like, "What do you mean you can see him out the back window?" And he goes, "Like, I can see him out the back window. He is keeping up with us right now."
Jeez.
And like what we saw, the best way I can describe him standing is like his head hunched over, his shoulder drooped down the opposite way of his head, and his body just kind of contorted to the right. And he was like, and it looked like he was 8 feet tall, and he had these, they weren't like red eyes, but they were just these really bright, piercing eyes. Like it felt like you, like they were looking into you. And so he was like, "Yeah, I see him out the rearview mirror right now." And I turned around and I looked, and there's this thing just following us. And I was like, "Dude, just drive, drive, drive." And we're doing like 95, maybe 100 miles per hour down this road until finally this thing disappears. And so we drive a little bit farther down. We get about 10 or 15 miles down the road. And I don't know why the hell I told him to do this. I was like, "Dude, I need you to stop. I need to have a cigarette. I need to get out of the car and have a cigarette." And so we stopped and got out of the car. And I mean, you guys have been out in the desert in the middle of the night. Like, it's not super loud like it is in a forest, but you hear stuff like moving around and stuff.
And crickets, and yeah.
It was dead silent. Like, I got out of the car and went to light my cigarette and realized it's dead silent out here. And then all of a sudden I start hearing something off to our side just moving really quickly. And I jumped in the car and I was like, "Let's just go home. Get out of here. Go, 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 go."
Yeah.
And at that point, I had seen nothing else. I didn't see anything else the rest of the way home. But when we got back, like, we walked in the door, and Lisa's mom looks at us and goes, "Oh, Lisa's my wife, by the way." Lisa's mom looks at us and goes, "What are you guys drunk or something? You guys out drunk driving with the kid in the car?" And I was like, "No, why?" And she's like, "You guys are like pale as hell. Like, you look like you're sick and you're sweating. You guys are pale and you're sweating. What the hell's going on?" And we told her what was going on. She's like, "You guys are fucking bullshitters. You know that stuff messes with me." And I was like, "No, I'm telling you what I saw." And I didn't go outside for the next 2 days, I swear to God.
Either. Oh my gosh. Oh, that was a really creepy visual of the contorted body in the road, and oh, yeah,
yeah. It was those kind of things that just really, really messed with me. And then now we live in an area that has a lot of stuff like that too. I haven't seen anything yet here, but I've been kind of paying attention because Paris, Texas has a pretty dark history if you really look into it. With the so the city has burnt down, I believe twice. That caused quite a few deaths. And then we had what's called the Chisholm Trail running up through it, which also caused a bunch of deaths. And yeah, so I was thinking, "Oh, hey, I got out of the desert. At least I don't have to worry about that stuff." And then I find out, oh, no, There's woods here. You got to worry about things in the woods now.
And woods are scarier because the desert is just all flat, so you can see it coming. But the woods, there's a lot of places to hide.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I was going to ask what kind of like local lore or legend is there around you in Texas? Just the same thing, just like, are skinwalkers out there? I thought they're a Navajo thing, but are they just all like a native thing or?
You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not exactly sure what everything is out here because you get a lot of Mexican lore out here. With like chupacabras and stuff like that, and I guess you could say like, what is it, La Llorona?
Oh yeah, that's a creepy one. That's a good story. Definitely gives you chills.
There's like apparently there's a ghost that runs around town. Or runs around the square or something like that, because this is a pretty old town. I guess I don't know all the facts of what happened, but a black man ended up getting lynched for something that he didn't do. And then there's, which is the local ones. There's the Red River Monster, which is basically don't swim in the Red River at night or you won't come back out. But I don't know exactly what the story is on it. Like there's five lakes surrounding us, and I'm sure each lake has its own horror story to it too. So
yeah, I'm still traumatized of I don't know if it was Paris, but you're telling me about going to a swimming hole and some guy water skied through a nest of, was it copperheads or something? And
I know it was water moccasins.
That right there made me go, you know, maybe I don't want to move to Texas if there's freaking snakes in the water. No thanks.
Yeah. It was, what was that lake? I want to say it was Lake Pat Mays Lake that it happened at, which is just up the road from me, like 10 or 15 miles.
Well, don't take your kids there, please.
Oh, we don't swim at the lakes.
Okay, good. Oh, awesome. Okay, well, any other spooky stories for us, or? I know there was something in your house in Cedar City. Something was up with that closet. Is that all Lisa's side, or did you catch anything?
Oh, no, that closet creeped me the hell out.
That closet had bad vibes. What was that?
The one under the stairs?
Yeah, and eventually it was your kid's toy closet, and I was like, oh, it was a little happier when it was a toy closet, but, but before then it was pretty creepy.
I don't know what it is. So the bathroom of the house I live in actually used to creep me out whenever I was a kid too. But no, that like, so that our house in Cedar City was fairly new construction, and I never felt like anything in that house was there to harm me, or that there was really anything in that house. Except for in that damn closet. I got the weirdest vibes from that closet. And I'm not saying that I did or did not turn off the light in that closet most of the time, but I walk in and I wouldn't remember the light being on. And then I'd come back over to by there and I'd look at the door. And you could see the light shining through the door, through the cracks of the door. And I was just like, what the heck? And anytime we laid the dog's door over there, it didn't go over there. But then once we got somebody to come and cleanse it, and it stopped being creepy. So I don't know.
Oh, well, good. At least it stopped.
Well, that or the lady who bought our house is dealing with it right now.
That's her problem. No. Oh, awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on. It was good visiting with you. We'll definitely have to have you come back on. Maybe we can do, like, video game talk or something, or I don't know.
Maybe speak my language.
I was going to say.
Video games, horror movies, you name it, I'm more than welcome to come on.
Yeah, absolutely. And Lisa, too, because I know she's got a lot of fun things to say, and we miss her too. We miss you guys, but yeah. But thanks again. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk to you later. Okay.
Alrighty.
All right.
Yes. Thanks, have a good night.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
All right, guys, we really hope you enjoyed that. Those are some awesome stories. I don't know if it's just because me and Brady have heard everything the other person has to say at this point, but it's just, I don't know, I just love hearing other people's scary stories, and especially, like, when it's someone you know, like, just that element of that, you know, I mean, it's in Moab, but it hits close to home,
because
it's my buddy. Is that the heater? What's that buzzing noise?
It's my Xbox.
Holy shit. You need a new Xbox.
I know.
So anyways, we hope you enjoyed that. We'd love to have Tex on and his wonderful wife, Lisa. Other than that, I think that concludes today's show. I'm debating, we may or may not have a Halloween special just because it falls on a Sunday. And I don't know. I like to save spooky stories for Halloween. And we kind of did it today. So this might, unfortunately, be our last episode of October, but it was fun. My favorite month of the year, and you know, November's next, and that's my second favorite month of the year, so. Alright, well, any outro from you?
Thank you for joining me on my birthday.
Oh yeah, happy birthday. How old are you?
40 and a half.
I thought 32, but am I off?
33.
Are you really 33?
Yes.
Never know how old you are.
I was born in 1988.
You're just old as shit. That's all I know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I've been Panda.
And I have been Brady.
And we can't wait to talk to you next time.
And we love you.